Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash Potsy. The Bears have a head coach. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Mark, the Bears have an agreement with Ben Johnson. No signed paperwork quite yet, but a deal in place for the Lions offensive coordinator to become their head coach. What do you think?
Well, they got the guy they wanted, the guy they kind of needed. It's one of those things where the Bears were almost needed to at least swing for the fences here, and they did. Question still remains, is he the guy that everybody thinks he is or they think he is? But, at least they took the big swing. So you can't, this is going to go over well. This is going to be, at least at the start, a big hit because it's on paper the best hire they've had, maybe even since, as far as on paper, since Wani won the Super Bowl the year he was hired.
I was going to say, is Wani the last person the Bears hired that that had you taken a vote of the of their fan base that would have been somebody the fans all voted for and said, go get that guy?
Yeah, I would think so. Although I think Fox was a more favored hire than people now look at it now. I thought he was seen as a guy that was I thought that was considered a victory for mm-hmm. Pace being in his first year, the May-December thing. And that was, I think that's kind of a little revisionist history to say, oh, he was forced upon him, whether he was forced upon him or not. And I know this is a different subject, but I'm just saying, I thought that hire was pretty well received. That was kind of a guy that was considered fortunate. We covered it. I remember that. So right. That was good. But yeah, but nothing like, Wani was one of the guys where they got the hot coordinator, the winner of the, they had actually hired him before the Super Bowl. And then he had a great Super Bowl where I think they had like 7 or 8 takeaways and stuff, and it looked good. But this is especially considering the circumstances now, this is even better on paper. Again, it just if he can be as good with the offense here as he was in Detroit, then it's all good.
Yeah, and it's better on paper because he has Caleb Williams to work with, and Potsy, I've written about this for the Sun-Times. And I know you've written about what we're going to talk about for the next little bit as well, but the Bears went out of their way at this time last year to do everything they could in their mind to prime the pump for Caleb Williams. They went and had this, exhaustive search for an offensive coordinator. They end up picking Shane Waldron. They start installing the playbook with Caleb before Caleb's ever drafted here. They do it literally before his pro day in LA. They, they trade for Keenan Allen. They draft Roma Dunze. The Bears thought last year they were putting him in the best possible position to succeed. And it went so terribly that they had to start over by December. I think with Ben Johnson, part of the reason this is so intriguing is it gives them another chance to spend as much money as they're spending and put as many resources as they can into making sure that he at least has the right coaching and is given the best possible chance to be the best quarterback they've ever had.
And I think once we see the numbers on Ben Johnson's contract, that might affirm that the Bears went above and beyond what they normally do. And frankly, Pat, I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from this right now is that the Bears didn't do business like we expected the Bears to normally do business here. And I think they went right after the right guy, at least, again, on paper. Looks like, they were willing to spend more than they probably wanted to. Sounds like it. They probably did. They got a guy who had options, who was definitely going to have other options and chose the Bears. That's the thing about Poles. I've always liked him, but if they had fired him, I could not argue against it. I think he had such a bad year in the last year. I couldn't, but he had mentioned a couple things like, what'd you get wrong on what was going to be the difference this time? And he had mentioned, just that he knows the makeup of the team better. He felt like he was in a better position to make a good choice. And I kind of feel like he has, they have respect. Poles and Warren and maybe George McCaskey have responded. I think you got to give them credit for that. Again, on paper, that they've done that. I think that's the best sign when you look at what Poles. Poles has to kind of fix his offensive line now, right? To make that's the missing element. If you're going to look at the one thing that Ben Johnson had in Detroit that he doesn't have here, it's the O-line. And I think that gives me a little more confidence that he will aggressively do that. And because of just the way they've kind of changed course here. So that's the theme. I feel like the Bears have changed course and they've not, and they've learned from their mistakes. That's the appearance, at least, of this move.
Do you have an issue with how long it took to get to this point? You mentioned 17 candidates. As it turns out, there was nothing the Bears could have done until Ben Johnson lost anyway. So, no. I mean, I think I've told you this privately, at least. I thought that if they got Ben Johnson, the party line would be, hey, man, we had to kill 2 weeks anyway. We might as well get as much information as possible from as many people as we can legally talk to. And that's how it turned out. Yeah.
Pat, I can't complain about the process. My take was, hey, I would just talk to like five guys and make sure that they're the top five guys. And then, you know, you should get one of them. But my argument against the long process was only if it kept them from getting one of the top guys. You know, if doing all these interviews with all these guys caused Mike McCarthy or Pete Carroll or what, you know, Joe Brady or Ben Johnson to go elsewhere, well, then it was a bad deal. But no, they can do whatever they want now. As long as they got the right guy. I have to admit, though, I'm a little mystified. They didn't even bring him into Hallis Hall, and he didn't get to see what the Bears facility is all about or what the Bears are all. I mean, maybe that's just window dressing, I guess. In the whole process, I've never gone through those myself, but that just seems a little quick. But hey. Not going to complain about Bear. I guess I can't complain too much about the process when the Bears got the best guy, the most popular guy in the market. We got to find a right way to phrase this without sounding like he is, you know, the next Bill Belichick.
Hot. You could just say the hottest guy in the market. Yeah. I think the most desirable
that he had, that he had other options. The guy who had probably the most options, and the Bears got him. So I guess that's probably the best way to put it.
You know, given that I think it's -6 with wind chill as we sit here right now, maybe keeping him away from the Chicago area is not a bad thing. Although if he walks in the building on Tuesday, it'll probably never be colder at Hallis Hall than it is on Tuesday. Potsy, this is a guy who in his 3 years as offensive coordinator has posted more yards than anybody in the league, more points total than anybody in the league. Yet his last game was probably the most disappointing game of his career. When you sat home and watched their loss to the Commanders on Saturday, what was your impression of Ben Johnson, and did it do anything to shake your opinion of him one way or the other?
No, not at all. I'll be honest, not at all. You know, was that his best game? I mean, they still scored a lot of points, but I mean, they had obviously too many turnovers. The quarterback didn't have a good game. I guess I was more amused, I guess, at a guy who had kind of really come into favor in Chicago when he did the stumble bump play. And then he pulled off the reverse pass to Jameson Williams that was intercepted, which was like, wow, at that moment of the game, what were you thinking? And, you know, I've kind of been half joking, like, you know, there's good and bad of every guy. Which Ben Johnson do you think you're going to get? The guy from the stumble bump or the guy who did this play against Jameson Williams? But like I said, that was more of more amusing than anything else. I don't think that one game was going to change. And again, it goes back to the same Mike McCarthy thing. Yeah, he won one Super Bowl, never got back to another one or whatever, and had his share of playoff failures. But wow, if the Bears record in the next 3 years is what the Lions was these last 3 years, I think Bears fans will take that.
I think Bears fans would take the 500 yards that the Lions posted the other day.
Yes. My point is that that game did not, that was not a red flag to me. You know, as far as, you know, what he, you know, about what he might do. It's interesting. I was thinking back to, like, you know, Lovey's last game when he was with the Rams and the Bears hired him it was interesting. It was good and bad. They lost and they gave up a lot of points and they got beat by Steve Smith, Carolina. And Lovey was the hire. Lovey ended up being a really good coach, the best Bears coach since Ditka, but he still got beat by Steve Smith 2 years later. So that was a little bit of a harbinger. You know, it was funny that, you know, he got burned the same way 2 years later with a different team. So that was a little bit of a foreshadowing or forecasting, I guess, that you could say. But again, in general, I don't think that game was a red flag for Ben Johnson. It just certainly wasn't a good game, but it wasn't like they, you know, they were totally bad on offense. And Goff is like that. You know, Goff has thrown five interceptions before and they've won. So, he's got a different quarterback this time. We'll see what happens there.
I think maybe this is a column for later, Pothy, but, you know, Matt Nagy, when they hired him, was coming off maybe his worst game with the Chiefs, even though he wasn't a play caller. Matt Eberflus's defense got absolutely gashed in their last game with the Colts. Ben Johnson's not the first coordinator the Bears have hired who's probably got a bad taste in his mouth from the way things finished where he was. You mentioned Mike McCarthy. It becomes, I think, clear that Mike McCarthy, in many ways, is everything that Ben Johnson isn't. He's probably not the hot name, but he's a guy with experience, a guy with a Super Bowl ring, a guy who's 12th all time in wins. And he may have been the Bears' ace in the hole or backup plan or fallback or however you want to put it. Would you have been comfortable with him?
Yes. Yeah, I would have been. Sure. I mean, that would have been, I'm not sure. Who knows who will end up, which will end up being the better choice. The Bears, Mike McCarthy has the high floor. He's the one guy who you can look at and say, well, he never really had a really bad run. I mean, he's had a year or two, and it's usually when his quarterback was hurt. But whenever he's had his quarterback, pretty consistent success. And again, same old thing. Yeah, you could nitpick or not nitpick. You could criticize him for not winning enough in the postseason. But again, the Bears can't be that choosy. And I think unless they had some kind of insight into who's going to be the next Kyle Shanahan, which they haven't shown that they have, I think McCarthy would have been very, very acceptable.
Yeah, and like you said, it'll be interesting to see how they fare. McCarthy, a candidate with New Orleans, maybe there's a fit there, but it's also possible that he doesn't go anywhere. It's possible that Pete Carroll, who they interviewed, doesn't go anywhere. Although I guess Las Vegas has an opening. There's a chance that among all of these guys that the Bears talk to, that some of them end up going through the cycle and not getting another job. And I think that'll be really interesting to see, because Mike McCarthy might be one of those guys, Mark, that given a year of a lot of coaches take a year off and their reputations usually only get better when they return after a year. So maybe he's the big name next season. One of the things I wanted to get your opinion on, Mark, was Ryan Poles had said when I had asked him, I think during his end of season press conference, like, you know, if you're going to hire another guy who's never been a head coach before, like, how are you going to make sure that he doesn't fall into the same trap that Matt Eberflus did and Matt Nagy and, you know, all of these guys in the Bears history? And he essentially said, well, you know, we'd like them to bring people who have maybe some high level experience with him. And, you know, it looks right now like Dennis Allen from New Orleans and Darren Rizzi, also from New Orleans, both of those guys could have been connected to Ben Johnson as staff members. Allen as the defensive coordinator and Rizzi as the special teams coach. It's important to know that these things take a while. The Rooney rule means that they've got to interview a bunch of candidates at all their coordinator positions. But would that sufficiently check a box or two for you, Potsy, if his big two coordinators are guys who have been head coaches, even on an interim basis?
Yeah, I think experience is probably pretty important when you have a first-time head coach. And so, yeah, I think those names sure sound, you know, they sound good to me. So, I can't say that would be, you know, that Ben Johnson can attract people who have been pretty successful. Both those coaches have been successful at their main job. I know Dennis Allen's been a head coach, not as successful, but as a coordinator has been. I don't think there would be any complaints. But again, not knowing who else is available, that kind of thing, it's hard to really know for sure. But the question about the issue of experience, I think, is good. And, of course, you know, Nagy getting Vic Fangio was the key to any success he had in Chicago. So right there, you have evidence how important it is to do that.
It made me laugh when Paul said that, though, because he said, you know, of course we, you know, make sure that they come with experienced coordinators. And you sit there and go, you know, they didn't require that of Matt Eberflus. Matt Eberflus, at no point in his 3 years did he employ a single person who had been a head coach anywhere at the college or pro level. So This it would seem like a natural ballast there to say you have to bring in somebody with head coaching experience, but it didn't happen here the last time. Of all the guys they talked to, Potsy, was there anybody that grabbed you or that you thought would be an intriguing candidate beyond the two that we've talked about here?
No, the Brian Flores thing I thought was interesting because that's a guy who, boy, he's got red flags, but also I think he potentially could be one of those guys, rebound guys, who does really well the second time. Of the guys who are on the fringe, I don't know. I just, because of the way people have talked about him to me, people I know, David Shaw, the Stanford coach, I know he was the longest of long shots and really didn't have a lot of success at the end of his tenure at Stanford, but I've always liked him. I always felt like he's one of those guys who could, could be a good NFL head coach. And I got to say, again, I know this is another long shot, but the one who wasn't on the list, who I think really should get some looks or should have gotten a look, was Dave Tobe of the Chiefs. And I guess maybe it's more of a personal thing, 'cause I was here when Dave was here and know him a little bit, but I just feel like he deserves a chance to be a head coach as a successful special teams coach. I think he was a good manager of people. That's one of the key things of being a head coach. I think he proved that he was a good, anytime you're a special teams coach like him, you know, always having to convince guys to do something you really don't want to do.
do something that human nature, thousands of years of evolution tells you you shouldn't be
right.
doing.
Yeah, I think can convince guys like Corey Graham to be really good at something and then turn them into actual good players on defense. I think that's a good quality. And in general, I think Dave's a good manager. And I think he's got a lot of potential, but he's just not getting any kind of look. So as to your question of guys who are intriguing, he was intriguing to me, even though he wasn't even on the list. It was disappointing that, boy, they're talking to Eddie George and they can't talk to Dave Tobe. But those guys are an opposite end of the spectrum on one level. So I see why that happened. It was just disappointing. But anyway, I can't think of anybody else. I mean, I always say whenever I've been interviewed myself about these things, it's, I hate to beg off, but if I'm not in the, it's just like with draft picks. If I'm not in the room to ask questions and to see how they answer them and see body language, just get there. It's really hard for me to say to have the intuition of who's going to be the next Kyle Shanahan or whatever. I think that's, so they have a big advantage by having those guys. So it's hard for me just off paper to say who I think I just have a little bit of a problem with people being so certain that a guy's going to be good off of that. So again, so I guess what I'm saying is I didn't really, for me, I don't take the process for my own judgments as seriously because I don't get the same advantages that the teams do. And I think it's a big important part of the process. Again, another reason why I was still surprised that they didn't bring in Ben Johnson to Alice Hall. That's definitely in the back of my head.
I think Todd Monken could have been fun. And I think it would have been fun.
Yeah. Just because, good point. Good point. I forgot him. Yeah. That is because he's an older guy who's got a lot of experience and has done well. Yeah, I agree. But again, that's a guy who you to know what kind of a head coach is, don't you really have to know him? And that just see, I mean, that's a guy you got to get in the room with and really find out what he's about. But that was, yeah, you're right. I would include him as intriguing. He was local guy too. His family's huge into coaching. That's always good, I think. So that would have been interesting. Yeah. That was one of the things where people would say, the Bears being the Bears again, getting the guy that very few people are looking at. But I would have thought, hey, that's really actually not. If somebody else hires him, I would say, you know, hey, I would applaud that. I think it's an interesting hire.
Yeah. I think there's a tier of people there too, whether it's Joe Brady, who's only 35, or Monken, some of the assistants they've talked to that, and I mean this completely respectfully, I think would be great in Jacksonville, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or great, even in New Orleans. I think that there's a pressure here because of the Bears' history of hiring and because of Caleb Williams and because of Ryan Poles' own struggles in 3 years at GM where they needed to take a more sure thing. And Ben Johnson is not a sure thing. And anybody who tells you he is lying. But I think by being the overwhelming most popular choice, I think that he gives the Bears some cover that they wouldn't have had with some of those other guys.
Yeah, they were not in a position to hire Mark Trestman. I mean, in this cycle. I think that's why I think they either needed a Mike McCarthy, Pete Carroll, or they needed the hottest guy in the market, and they got him. So sometimes the timing of it is key. But I think you're right. I think for where the Bears are now, they almost had to do this. The only question was, did you think they really would? And I think people would say that I would, as a Hal's Hall skeptic, and they stepped up.
Potsy, it'll be an interesting week. Before I wrap up real quick, on a personal level, we've done way too many of these, Mark, but on a personal level, is there a better day than the day a coaching search ends?
Well, yeah, I mean, after the team wins the Super Bowl,
let's be realistic.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. That is great. And I know, you've done a lot of the heavy lifting for us on this. So, you're more relieved than I am. I think, but yeah, no doubt about it. But it's still a long, I'm still ruining that extra mini camp, Pat. I'm still looking at the extra work. And telling you the truth, I hope we're not going over here, but I'll be honest, I'm older, and maybe you're getting to this point too, but like, I'm not going to be all that excited at that press conference. You know what I'm saying? I will have heard every single thing that Ben Johnson is going to say and that Ryan Poles is going to say about him. And I don't think Bears fans should have to, I don't want them to not be excited about this, but I'm just saying from my own personal standpoint, we're at a point now you talk about the ending of the process. I've seen this so many times before that I'm at the point now where I just got to see it to believe it. So we will have a press conference coming up hopefully this week. And, but again, those things are going to, Pat, everything's going to sound awfully familiar. We should try and pick out one thing that he says that's different. I'll bet that'd be pretty hard to do.
It's the first head coach I've ever covered who's younger than I am. So
that's always something. And that's like when the first guy plays in the big leagues, who's your age, it's like a moment.
I remember my kid's favorite baseball player is closer in age to my kid than he is to me. And that's, I still find that hard to believe. So
yeah, I'm covering grandchildren of people I covered.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I can't remember who it was, but it was like the sun. It was it's part of getting older, but we're still here. That's a good thing.
Yes, yeah, it's beats the alternative for sure, Potsy. Yeah. We will be back later in the week to talk about all sorts of fun Bears stuff and the Ben Johnson era. Can we call it an era? The Ben Johnson era.
Yeah.
Why not? Until then, you can follow Mark on social media. In fact, I'm going to stop and just right here, just recommend that you follow Mark on social media just every day of the year, just for funsies. It's a blast. And you can check him out in the Sun Times and on their app and in the newspaper and all that sort of good stuff. Jason Leisure as well, who's done a lot of work in this coaching search. You can follow him everywhere. And you can follow me as well. Anyway, he's Mark. I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon.